First edition of Heart to Heart this semester, and to thank Rabbi Shulman for agreeing to give a topic, which I know is on many, many people's minds, because I've spoken to it with many people, and to hear Rabbi Shulman's deep insights onto something that's this meaningful to our lives as Jewish people who are B'nai Yeshiva growing in Torah, is something very special. I want to thank him for taking his time out and addressing this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. In a way, it's almost strange to talk in yeshiva about the importance of learning B'iyun. And I wouldn't have thought, I really wouldn't have thought it was unnecessary. If learning B'iyun is not important, then why do you have to come to yeshiva? Like, isn't that what you come to yeshiva for, to learn how to learn B'iyun? But nonetheless, if they ask me to talk about the topic, so apparently it's something that doesn't need to be talked about. Chazal certainly put a great deal of stress on the concept of Yigir in Torah and Amelus in Torah. We all know a lot of the Mamari Chazal, B'chukaisa Terechu, Shetu Amelim in Torah. And Chazal, one of the sayings that Chazal instilled in us, and that Chazal stressed very often, is the importance of Yigir in Torah, meaning that learning Torah is not something that comes easily. To understand the text of Torah is not something you can just sit back in a reclining chair and read it and it comes on its own. Rather, it's something that you have to break your head. You have to break your head against. It requires toil. It requires hard work to break through to an understanding of Torah. Because I'll say in that vein, it ain't all them oimed al divrei Torah elim kein nichshal behem. Meaning, you can't really understand something in Torah without a few false starts. It's not the first understanding. The way it first seems to you that you understand it is usually wrong. And you can't really come to a true understanding of any text in Torah without making mistakes and without discovering what the mistakes are and trying to get to the bottom of the matter. The first reading, the initial reading, the first take is usually the wrong take. That's all part of this fabric of Yigiyas HaTorah. Torah doesn't come easily. Understanding Torah correctly is not supposed to come easily. And therefore, you know, the Gemara Yagatu Mutsasa Taimin, Lo Yagatu Mutsasa Al Taimin, that if you think that you came to a correct understanding of Torah without Yigia, you just walked in and the Torah opened up its innermost chambers for you on its own. So Al Taimin, there is no such phenomena. They say in the name of the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin said that he pointed out that the expression of Chazal is Yagatu Umutsasa. Mitzio means something you find. In a way, this sounds like a contradiction. First of all, about Yigia, sounds like something that you have to achieve through hard work. Then it says Mitzia. Mitzia is something that you just is a windfall. You just find lying there. So the Goyin said that after all of the Yigia, it remains a Mitzia. It remains something that you get as a Matana. But you don't get that Matana, you don't have the Siyata Deshmaya without investing the Yigia. Because I'll say, Al Taman, it's a very strong Lashon, that it's not possible. Not possible that one can come to the Mitzvah, that one can have Siyata Deshmaya learning without investing the hard work. That's fundamental to the whole enterprise of Talmud Torah. We make a bracha every morning, Lasek B'divrei Torah. And the Taz writes that we don't say Luma Torah. We say Lasek B'divrei Torah. The Taz says that the idea of Lasek is Yigia, that it should be with hard work, it should be with trying to plumb the depths, putting the toil in, putting the requisite work in, and that's part of the mitzvah. Ad kedei kach, that affects the nusach of the bracha. If we made a bracha just luma Torah, likrei Torah, then that wouldn't be there. That wouldn't be the right mitzvah. That wouldn't encompass the totality of the mitzvah. The totality of the mitzvah requires that it be lasik b'divrei Torah. And there's countless mamori chazal about this. Adam kiyomus ba'oyel, that you have to be memes atzmei ba'oyel olo yishul Torah. What does it mean? You have to push yourself to the limit to try and understand, strain your every fiber of your being to understand the Eimek of Divrei Torah. It's a famous idea that Rav Bar said very famously, you know, the Gemara says that Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'mikra Megillah, you know, we are, because of Pursum Inisa, because of the Mitzvah of Pursum Inisa, so we close the Gemara in order to go and hear Kriyas HaMegillah. So Rav Bar asked, why is that called Bittul Torah? Kriyas HaMegillah is also Talmud Torah. So you close the Gemara, you go to learn Tanakh. What's the difference? Why is that called Bittul Torah at all? So Rav Bar said, but it's a Bittul Torah in Eichus. Because you're going from a hard limud to a passive limud. You go and you hear Kriyas HaMegillah in Shul. That's a very passive kind of limud. You just sit and you learn. There's no Yigi involved. And the person's learning Torah, Yigi with toil, he's trying to understand it. So to go from a passive, an active limud, to a passive kind of limud, that itself is bittul Torah. It's a number on Purim. It's a mitzvah. Mevatel Talmud Torah. We're mevatel Talmud Torah. But don't make the mistake of thinking that that's not the bittul Torah for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. One could be mevatel Talmud Torah. I don't know about the mitzvah for the swarm sale, but for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, you could be mevatel. There's a head to be mevatel Torah. But one should understand that that itself is a kind of bittul. Really, we could ask, you know, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam make it that way? Why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam make the Torah easy? I remember when I was young, I had a relative, went to law school, and he had spent many years in yeshiva, and he said, you know, the law school, everything is in books, you just read the books, and everything is already pre-digested for you. So, you know, he was like wonders, why can't it be that way in learning? Learning, everything is hard to come to any maskana, even to come to a halacha, even a straightforward halacha, requires maneuvering through the labyrinthine sugyas and peskim and so on. And why isn't it secular? Everything is just much more straightforward. But that's apparently the way that the Ratzon HaBorei is, that that's how Talmud Torah should be. The Beis Halevi says that that was the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shniyos. That by Luchos Rishonos, the way that the original plan, Luchos Rishonos, everything was written, everything would have been written down. It's on the Luchos Rishonos, it said everything Teresh of Iksav and Teresh of Alpeh, everything was, so there was no such distinction between Teresh of Iksav and Teresh of Alpeh. Everything was written down in Luchos Rishonos, and all you had to do was learn it passively, and that would have been in a different kind of world in which there was no Yetzirah and no need to. But he says Luchos Shniyos was not the way. Luchos Shniyos was only. There was Teresh of Iksav was written down. It's only a small part of Torah. But the rest of Torah is Teresh Shel Peh, and that requires, after Luchos Shniyos, that requires Yigiyah. But the Beis Halevi says that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was Koren Or Panav only after Luchos Shniyos, not after Luchos Rishonos. Because Luchos Rishonos was a passive limud. Everything was in the Luchos. By Luchos Shniyos already, the Luchos was very little. Where was the rest of the Torah? It was engraved in the heart of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was Koren Or Panav. The Torah now is in Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the Taminim of Moshe Rabbeinu. That elevated Moshe Rabbeinu that it should be Koren Or Panav. And that's how it is. That's part of why Torah has to be learned via Yigiyah, because in order to have a pu'ula on a person, the tachlis of Talmud Torah is not just that we should know what to do. The Beis Halevi writes in the Tshuva that there's two things in Talmud Torah. First of all, it's a hechsher mitzvah. You want to do a mitzvah, you want to blow shofar, you have to know what are the halachos of shofar. So you have to learn the halachos in order to know what to do. So that's not the main mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a hechsher to asiyas mitzvah. The main mitzvah of Talmud Torah is for its own sake to be engaged in limud Torah for its own sake. Limud Torah for its own sake, the limud Torah that elevates the person. That has a pu'ul on the person, and that requires the gi of Teresh Shabbal Peh. That's part of why Teresh Shabbal Peh has to be that way. That doesn't come easily, because you have to invest yourself, and it's only by investing yourself in the Limud Torah. The Limud Torah makes an impression on the person and changes the person himself. The Chazanish has a letter that he. Actually, he has many letters along these lines, but he has one particular letter where the Chazanish writes that all of the milas that Chazal described about Eloi Mer HaTorah and Kol Eloi Mer HaTorah L'Shmo, Zorcha L'Dvarim Harbei, all of the things that we talk about when we talk about a Talmud Chacham and what the Torah does for a person to elevate the person and then in Menu Eitzev Tushi and so on, it all comes from Yigiyas HaTorah, from an active kind of learning, an engaged learning, not from a passive learning. A passive learning doesn't change the person. It's the active learning that changes the person. The learning of Lasik, the Divrei Torah. I say, there's a story about Rav Shlomo Hyman. Rav Shlomo Hyman was Rav Shivan Torah Vadas, he was the Talmud of Baruch Ber. And when he met Rav Moshe Feinstein for the first time, and I don't know what the conversation was about, but after the conversation, Rav Shlomo Hyman said that this younger man is going to be the Gadol Ador, because he saw on him, that he never leaned back in his chair. He was always leaning forward. He never just leaned back. He was always engaged. He was always pushing himself. He was always, he said, that midah of not leaning back, of always pushing himself, that's the midah that's requisite to grow into godless. And that's really part of the training that he's supposed to get now in these years of yeshiva. And then that's a great waste. The person comes to yeshiva, and you have this window of opportunity to grow in the skills of Yigiyas HaTorah. And sometimes what happens is, sometimes, for whatever reason, people don't take advantage of that opportunity. And the age that you're in yeshiva, we have a Messiah that the ages, from like 16 to 24, this period of time, that's when your mind is plastic, that's when your mind can be formed, when you can learn new skills. And this is the opportunity when you can get the skills to be able to learn Torah, to be able to be a Gayan Torah, the skills of learning B'iyun. If you don't take advantage of this age, at an older age, it's very hard to get it. It requires a lot of skills that are required for learning Torah B'iyun, a lot of skills that to break through a sugya, to learn how to break through a sugya, to put it all together, to put the chesmen out the sugya, to work through the lumps. A lot of skills that have to come together. Not something that comes easily. It requires training. And the time to get it is at this age. Less than 16 is too young. The mind's not mature enough. More than 24, your mind is set. But you have this window of opportunity to gain the skills of limud b'iyun. That really should be your prime. I believe very strongly that should be the primary goal in yeshiva. Lots of other things, that you do later in life, that you get later in life. But the ability to learn b'iyun, the ability to take a sugya and break through, and it requires breaking through. A sugya doesn't just open itself up. As I said before, it requires a lot of things have to come together to be able to break through the sugya. Though all of those skills that have to merge together, this is the time in your life when you have the ability and the opportunity to get those skills. And if you don't take advantage of it now, later on, it's going to be too late. B'kiyus, you'll have a chance to learn later on in life. Other things you have a chance to learn later in life. But to learn how to be a Gayan Torah, this is really your mind now. Your mind is, you have the ability, your mind now is mature enough, but still young enough, fresh enough, plastic enough, that you could get those skills. Later on, you're not going to be able to. The Chazon Ish writes, also in one of his letters, that if a person reads, the way he said it was, that if a person reading the newspaper takes away from your ability to learn, because you learn how to read, you get in the habit of reading superficially. I'm not saying you shouldn't read the newspaper, but he was saying a very deep thing. He said, if you get in the habit of reading superficially, then you read everything superficially. And part of Limud HaTorah is not to read anything superficially. Now, I would say in our terms that writing term papers is the enemy of learning how to learn B'iyun. Because you get in the habit of writing superficially. You get in the habit of just saying whatever you want, just talking off the top of your head, because you just have to write something. And that's the opposite of what you need to be doing when you're learning Gemara. You can't just say anything. You have to say what emerges from the toil and the work of the sugya. This is a story with Rav Aaron Kotler. I've said it in the shir many times, that Rav Aaron Kotler used to say a shir was a very complicated shir. Rav Aaron Kotler had a magisterial command of everything. But the sugya itself was very complicated. He worked through the cheshbon of the sugya, and the sugya, in Rav Aaron's context, meant not just the sugya that was in front of you, but every sugya in Shas that related, Bavli, Yerushalmi, everything that was related to the topic. And it was very, very complex, and very, very few Talmidim were able to really follow the shir fully. Everybody got something, but to follow the shir fully from beginning to end was very hard. Very few people were up to that. It required also preparation, and yet the chazir, it was very hard. At the same time, the sugya was full of lumdus and fascinating ideas that perhaps anybody could relate to. Lumdus is easy. So they came to the Talmidim, came to Rav Aaron, and they said, maybe you could split the shir up in two. Say one day you'll say just the lumdus. That'll be Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Everybody will be able to understand that. And then you'll say separately, you'll say the cheshbon, that already, those people who have difficulty with the cheshbon, so they won't come to that shir. So Rav Aaron said, Chas v'shalom, said, a bocher has to know that a svara is not a hefker. You can't just say a svara, whatever you feel like. The svara has to grow out of the engaging with the complexity of the sugya. If you don't engage with the complexity of the sugya, you just think you can think, then, and if they don't see that the svara has to emerge from the complexity of the sugya and the toil of the sugya and the yigi of the sugya. No, you just say a svara. So then they'll get in the habit of doing that themselves, and that's the opposite of what the chinuch has to. The opposite of what the chinuch has to be. I often quote in shir. I usually quote at the beginning of the year. A quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes. Chachmim is Olam. Oliver Wendell Holmes, I think junior. Maybe it was senior, but I think it was junior. Anyway, they were both from the Chachmim Masalim. Anyway, Oliver Wendell Holmes said that he would not give a... He would not give a fig. It's worth nothing to him. The complexity... for the simplicity that comes before complexity. But he would give everything for the simplicity that comes after complexity. For the simplicity that comes before complexity, that's garbage. That's worthless. the simplicity that comes after complexity, that's the greatest thing in the world. Meaning, when you learn anything, he wasn't learning Gemara, obviously, he was learning other disciplines. But when you learn a discipline, and there's complicated material, so first there's the simplicity that comes before the complexity. It means at the beginning it looks simple, seems straightforward. Then, the more you get into it, you start to see that it's not so simple at all. It's really very complicated. And you have to grapple with all of that, all of those complications. But then, sometimes, if you're lucky, there's a breakthrough, and after dealing with all the complexity, you can see that underlying the complexity, there's an underlying simplicity, and that's already very, very powerful. So that's what Limud HaTorah B'Iyun is about. You just learn, you open up a sugya, and it seems simple. That simplicity is not worth anything. Then you start to engage with the sugya more. You look at the Achrayim, you look at Rabbi Kveger, you look at the Rishonim, you see the discourse around the sugya, and you start to see, no, it's actually very complicated. And sometimes you can drown in all of the complexity. If you're lucky, then sometimes you can break through and you can discover that underneath all of the complexity there's an underlying simplicity, and that's unbelievable. We're not always reichet to that. Sometimes we're stuck in the complexity. But all of that is part of the Yegiyas HaTorah, and that's part of what the Enterprise HaTorah is about. And it's not a simple pursuit. It's not something that you can just do on your own. It's something that requires training. And that goes back to what I said before. These are the years. This is the period of time when you can get that training. You have the opportunity. Well, here in Yeshiva, you have the opportunity to get the kind of training. And that's why Gdolei Yisrael were really so zealous in their insistence that these years not be wasted. You know, that these years, this window of opportunity that you have, it shouldn't be wasted. As much of it as possible should be devoted to gaining the skills that afterwards you'll have for the rest of your life. And to get those skills and to get what a Baruch Berger used to call the Seichel HaTorah, how to think in Torah, you require Shimush Talmidei Chacham. That's something you can just get on your own. That's something you can get from a manual. Something you have to get from Rabbeim, from experienced Chaverim, but primarily at this stage in life, certainly primarily from Rabbeim. That's where Chazal spoke so strongly. They call it Afilu Mishikara Vishana. The person learned a lot of Torah, he learned a lot of Torah Shavuot, learned a lot of Torah Shabbat, but Vleishimish Talmidei Chachamim. He didn't learn from living Talmidei Chachamim how to understand it and how all of it should be digested and processed. So Noach Leishalay Nivra, then it's not really, it didn't really accomplish the purpose, a big part of what your purpose in life is, which is to be able to learn and to understand the Ribbono Shalom's Torah. That requires a lot of skills, but the skills you have to get from a living tradition, from a Rebbe, from older Talmidim. Not something you can just pick up on your own. There's no do-it-yourself book for how to learn. There's no book you could just buy in the store about lumdus and you just know how to learn. You have to learn it from a living tradition because there are so many skills that come together. It's not an easy thing to require. I say also in Shir all the time, beginning of the year, I tell the Talmidim certain things that I was mekabel from my Rebbeim about how to learn a sugya, how to learn a sugya be. And one of the things that I was mekabel is that when you learn a sugya, it's very important. The first thing is you should learn the Shach Levitai of the Gemara Rashi Tosfos Baal Peh. As you're learning the sugya, you should go over it, make sure that you can say over Baal Peh, not word for word, but the Shach Levitai, what is the Gemara ask, what is the Gemara answer. Again, same thing with Rashi, the same thing with Tosfos. And then to say that over a few times, to speak out the Shach Levitai of the Gemara, to speak out Harash and the Gemara, to speak out the Shach Levitai of Tosfos. And as you're saying the Shach Levitai, that should be at the same time that you're doing the Iyun. The Iyun should be not when you're reading the printed page, because that's not the Iyun should be while you're saying it over Baal Peh. Can't tell you why it works, but it works. You might say it works. It's a much more powerful Iyun because you're saying the Shach Levitai Baal Peh. So you're aware. Your mind is, you're engaged. When you're reading a printed page, you're passive. When you're saying it over Baal Peh, the Shach Levitai, you're engaged. You mind, it's a more active kind of engagement with the sugya. You're thinking about the sugya, you're thinking about how it hangs together. And if then you put in the Iyun will be much more powerful. I've had Talmidim come and told me that this was really one of the most powerful things that they ever heard. That's a small thing. Another thing I'll share with you that I heard from Rav Schneer, said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Zalman. Zalman used to say that every bocher, and I think not only every bocher, every balabas afterwards, every alumnus, should have a notebook. It doesn't have to be, it could be a notebook on his laptop, it could be a folder, but every bocher should have a notebook in which he writes down his ha'aras and learning. It teaches you the habit of writing down your comments and learning, your problems. You have a kasha, you have an insight, you get something that you heard from somebody that you think is correct. You write it down. It teaches you, first of all, precision in thought, which is very important in learning. You say something, it could just be fuzzy, but you write it down, it has to be precise. And it also teaches you to value your own machshavas and learning, to take it more seriously. Like this, sometimes there's a temptation. The buffer is tempted to think, you know, my thoughts are not of any value anyway. The main thing is what I'm going to hear from my Rebbe, what I'm going to hear from my Rav. Well, my thoughts are not really worthwhile. And it's very important that you get in the habit of giving value to your own insights and learning, because that's yours. You know, what you hear from other people, that's not yours. But what you yourself thought about in the sugya, that belongs to you. And that should be, you should value that. And if you value it, then you will want to work on improving that and honing that. And from that, you grow. That's a very, very valuable thing. Another nekuda, it's really sort of a many different. Another nekuda, Rav Yerucham, the mashgiach in the Mir, used to talk about he spoke on one occasion, what is the main point of the chinuch of the Mir? What does the Mir represent? What does the Mir stand for in as an institution? So he said that the main thing that the Mir tries, so talking about the pre-war Mir, so to do, the main thing that the Mir wants to, and the Mir was Dalai Lama, all the bigger, Dalai Lama lived in the Mir. Nochem, Leib Malin, the people who went on later to be the bedrock of the yeshivas. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochum said that the main thing that the Mir wants to give to the Talmidim is the habit of not reading superficially. You shouldn't read superficially, whether it's a Gemara, whether it's a Sefer Musar, whether it's life. You shouldn't look at things from superficially. And this is a generation in particular that has a weakness for superficiality, is attracted to superficiality. A person has and it requires work, and it requires going against the stream, going against the zeitgeist to fight that, to resist that, and to say, no, I learned it. When you learn something, when you see something in learning, shouldn't suffice just a superficial understanding. And the superficiality, it tends to, the Yetzirah of superficiality infects not only how one learns, but it affects the totality of Yahadus and the totality of life. We really live in a time when Yahadus is infected by a superabundance of superficiality, and people are nitpas to charlatans and schoolers and some people think that they understand things that are way above their pay grade, way above the level. Everybody wants to learn Kabbalah, even though nobody really understands Kabbalah, because people are nitpas if you understand it on a shtickistical level, so that's really called you understand it. You have to develop, you have to understand things la'ayman. And it starts with how you look at a black Gemara, but there's a spillover. If you get the habit, not to learn anything, if you get in the habit that you read a text, or you engage with anything in Yahadus, or anything in life for that matter, not to suffice with the Hashkofa Rishonah, but to think things through, and to try and plumb the depth and get to the bottom of something. And that's something that's very, very important. Yerucham said that that's the main thing that the Mir wants to give to the Talmidim. We see in learning that the door is attracted to things that are superficial. And I think it's a very big problem. Once upon a time, there was a musig. There was a musig of a working person, whether it was a soicher. A working person would come home after a hard day's work and would sit down. I remember somebody, where did I see? Somebody's describing his zayde. He was a soicher. I don't remember now who it was about, but it was he was talking about somebody from Kelm, the Alta from Kelm, had a yeshiva where he wanted to produce Torah, the Kabbalah Batim. Besides, later on, he had a different yeshiva where he produced the Mashkichim and Bali Musa, but before that, he had a yeshiva where the goal of the yeshiva was to produce Torah, the Kabbalah Batim. So I remember reading somewhere, describing one of the alumni of that yeshiva. It was talking about a certain soicher that he would come home at night and he would open up a Gemara Bukharis and he would learn Bukharis with the Marit Al Ghazi. Marit Al Ghazi, it's a huge parish, very voluminous. And Bukharis was his Masechta. He had a thing. Bukharis, that was his Masechta. He knew Bukharis cold and he would learn it every night. He would come back to it and learn it to him. That whole Musud, today you hear somebody learns Bukharis with the Marit Al Ghazi, he must be a Rosh Hashiva. And that's a. today everything is Daf Yomi. It's very basically Balabatim, they learn it's always the Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi, in a way, Daf Yomi is a very mixed blessing. On the one hand, hard to deny, Daf Yomi for many people has been a bracha. I know personally a lot of people who, before they started learning Daf Yomi, were not learning at all. And then because they committed to Daf Yomi, so now they learn every day, and they have a Kfiyasitim, and they're more B'nai Torah, and they finished, maybe they've gone to a Shas already a couple of cycles. So that's on the plus side. And you can't gainsay that really had a very great impact. At the same time, I also know of people who are Oyevei Torah, people who love to learn, but because the whole learning is Daf Yomi, so the end of the, they look back and they don't really remember anything. They don't have, there's no sugya that they know well, there's no masechta that they know well, because everything is just, you just see the scenery flying by, and you're never really claiming anything. You're certainly not learning the Iyun, and you're not chazering, and you're not really acquiring. You go through many, many cycles of Daf Yomi and not know a sugya kitzur also, not know a sugya properly. I heard from the Balaam Eis himself, I heard this, an acquaintance of mine told me that he himself had this experience, that he was learning. He learns Bi'in also. He has other star in Daf Yomi. And besides that, he has a Seder in Daf Yomi. And he was learning, and he has a Chavus even to learn Daf Yomi. So they were learning Erevin. Daf Yomi Erevin. So they're sitting there learning, and in the middle of the Daf, one of them says, Girsa the Yankasa is very powerful. It's really, Girsa Yankasa is a great thing. What you learn when you're young, because when I was young, I learned Erevin. And now, as we're learning it now, it has a familiar ring. The Gemara is vaguely familiar. So the other guy said, I have the same experience. I also learned the Erevin many, many years ago in Yeshiva. And it also feels somewhat familiar to me, what we're learning. Anyway, they went up, a few minutes later, they realized that they were learning yesterday's daf again. It's a true story. I heard it from the Bala Meiser. So, Daf Yomi has its place, but that should not be the totality of one's learning. You're spending so much time now in Yeshiva to learn how to learn Be'in, to learn how to learn properly, to learn how to learn with Yigiyah, and then you're going to throw that all away, and you're just going to learn Daf Yomi. One should have Fiyasin for that also. But it's very important to find the time to be a person who learns Be'in. Of course, you have to know halacha, you have to know lots of things, but nonetheless, not to lose sight, there should be a time in your day. With the chavrus is even better, but there should be time allotted to learning Be'in. It doesn't only belong to Rosh Yeshiva, it doesn't only belong to Rabbeim. The Beskrov used to say, Torah does not belong to the Rosh Yeshiva, the Torah is the chela, is the Yerusha of all of Chal Yisrael. And there were great Talmidei Chachamim, world-class Talmidei Chachamim, who were working people. I had a cousin of Shaul Kosofsky. He wrote Svarim Dvar Shaul, classic Sefer and Saita called Dvar Shaul. He wrote other Svarim, and he was a lawyer. He was a lawyer, but he was a great Talmid Chacham. Then afterwards, he became sick, and when he was sick, when he was sick already, he gave up the practice and he sat and learned the whole day with the few years that he had left him. And he passed away young. But he was a great Talmid Chacham before that. He would learn the Shnayis Kalpeh on the way to work, and he had his Dvarim Be'in, and he wrote, and even there wasn't a stira to his being a lawyer. Rav Gedalia Nadal was a great Pesach, a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. The disciple used to send Shilas to him. He was a Poel, it's called in Israel, a Poel Binyan. Ramesh was a construction worker. He was a construction worker, and he was from the Derle Adar. It's not a stira. Of course, it's hard. It's hard. I'll tell you the truth. To be a Shiva and to find time to learn is also hard. But the only mile is that you have the Mechayev. You have to say Shir, so it's a Mechayev. I tell the story about Rav Yisrael Zalman, that Rav Yisrael Zalman was Rav Shiva Neis Chaim, so he used to pay when the bracha came to Eis Chaim, so he would have to take, of course, the fair. This yeshiva also, I think, you have to take the fair. So generally the way, I don't think that's how it works so much for us, but the way it worked then was that you would say over a shtickel Torah, the bracha would say over a shtickel Torah. It was not expected to be original. To him, a teenage boy, it wasn't expected to be original, just to see that you're able to say over a shtickel with understanding. So the Bokhra figure is taking a fair tomorrow with the Rav Zalman, so he's going to prepare he'll prepare something for Rav Zalman's Sefer. That's it. How could you go wrong with that? He'll prepare something from Evan Ozel. So he prepared a piece from Evan Ozel, and he came back. He came to Rav Zalman, and he told him over the piece. So Rav Zalman said, it's a beautiful Sfora, whatever what was. So Rav Zalman said to him, but what's the Hechach? What's the Hechach to this Vort? So the Bokhra said, what do you mean, what's the Hechach? I took it from your Sefer. I took it from the Shiva Sefer. service. Zalman said, yeah, I had a hechrich, I had to say shir, but what's your hechrich? So yeah, that's the mile of being a Rishul, to having to say a shir, that you have a hechrich, you know, you have that pressure, and that pressure is a good thing to have. But Be'etzim, it's so there's always, it's always for everybody, it's hard to find the time. But nonetheless, that's part of being the entire, that's part of it, is to make the time, is to make the time for that, and that's something, in the end, that's very rewarding. You'll have sipuk. You have sipuk from your learning. If you learn with havana, and you learn with iyun. The Biskirov used to train, Rav Chaim used to train the Biskirov. This already was on very high madregas. But nonetheless, just to know that such a musub, Rav Chaim used to train the Biskirov when he was a young man, that he should be able to think and learning when he was doing other things. Atkadekach, because he's always going to be busy. So he's going to be busy the whole day. How are you going to learn? You should have the ability to think and learning at the same time. Yeah, big madregas. Atkadekach, when the Biskirov was walking down to the chuppah, when he got married, Rav Chaim, before he went down to the chuppah, he asked him a kasha in learning. He should have something to think about while he's walking down to the chuppah. Okay, that's a very big madrega. But nonetheless, even in a madrega, there is such a thing that a person should, if a person is busy with limud be'iyum, a person is engaged with Talmud Torah in a good way, even if it's only for a small part of the day, it carries through to the rest of the day. And sometimes even in the middle of the day, he'll have a thought about what he was learning. Chazal say nefesh amela om loy. Person is amel b'makom zeh. Tera amela loy b'makom acher. If a person engages in learning the iyun, then even when he's not thinking about the sugya, it seems not to be thinking about the sugya, but his subconscious is still busy with the sugya. And sometimes he has a thought, and that's a level of engagement with Torah, which is really part of the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. Taisha says in Brachas, how can we make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then we go to work, and we do other things, and we sit down to learn again, and we don't make a new Birchas HaTorah? The place is, we never really Mesiach Das from Torah. Never Mesiach Das, what do you mean? But I'm doing all kinds of other things. Yeah, but at some level, you have an awareness of the learning as well. But that's only Shaykh from the military being. From Dafyami, you're not going to get that. The person has a time in the day Each person's schedule is going to be different, but if he makes the time, at least some of the day, a little part of the day, that he has some engagement with Limud HaTorah B'Iyun, then there's a spillover into the rest of the day, and he's a different kind of entire on that account. I was saying, one of the milos of this yeshiva, I really believe, one of the strengths of this yeshiva, is that Bochum go out afterwards to work, they go out into the workplace, into professions, and they still think of themselves as being Limud HaTorah. There's a very big pitfall that sometimes you have in yeshivas, that a bacher, when he's in yeshiva, so he knows he's learning full time, and he has that, you know, he knows he's a ben Torah, and he's a ben Aliyah, and he's shtagging, but then when he goes off to work, and he feels at some level it's like a failure, and then now he's just a balabas, and he's not a ben Torah anymore, and his self-image suffers, and therefore, it's harder for a lot of his, you know, nefilas. This is Rav Chaim Shulevich talked about the sakonas and nefilas, when a person feels they're having yerida, so that's a very dangerous time. Chaim would talk about Orpah and Rus both wanted to go with Naomi, and Rus and Naomi tried to dissuade them, and Rus persevered, and Rus went with Naomi, and Orpah wasn't able to. The bleak picture that Naomi was painting was too much for her, and she said, "You know, Naomi says, show me, you know, what I have to offer you." And she went back, and Chazal said that night she was nitzel and terrible of theirs. So Chaim Shulevich used to say, just a few minutes ago she was almost the same as Rus. She and Rus both wanted to be Megara. They both wanted to go back with Naomi, and a few hours later Orpah fell to the lowest madrega. The lowest madrega. So she met up with the guy, and she met up with the motorcycle gang, and then she was Mizana with the motorcycle gang, and then with the dog, and then she had Golias, and then not a shekel of things. So the same night, that morning, she was talking to her, she wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael with Naomi, and that night she had Rav Chaim Shulevich said, because she knew that she had failed. She knew that she had come that close to going with Rus, but it was the nisoyin was too great. You saw, you know, of poverty and going, Naomi painting, you know, what are you going to get? There's nothing to wait for. So she wasn't able to be Oymed B'Nisoyen, and she knew that she had fallen. She had not been Oymed B'Nisoyen, and she felt that she had fallen. And that's a sakana. When a person feels that they've fallen, they can fall all the way down. And that's sometimes a sakana in yeshiva. So the person leaves yeshiva while they're in yeshiva, but then they go out to make a living, and they suddenly feel, I'm not a Ben Torah anymore. And there's a sakana and a feel. What are the strengths that we have here in yeshiva? I'm not saying it's not a cost, but nonetheless, one of the strengths that we have here in yeshiva is that bachrim go out to work and they don't feel that they're a failure because they went out to work, because they went out to oppression. They're still a ben Torah. They look themselves in the mirror and they look and they feel that they are a ben Torah. That's a tremendous strength. But I think part of that strength, you know, it's we can use that strength to feel that even after we go out into the workplace, And the workplace could be Rabbanus, the workplace could be Chinuch, the workplace could be law, the workplace could be Nesim, whatever the workplace is, even after we go out into the workplace to know that we're still B'nai Yeshiva, we're still B'nai Aliyah, and we still have an engagement with Talmud Torah on the highest level. We're able to make a bracha every morning, Lasik B'divei Torah, and to mean it that we really want to be Isaac, we want to be again B'divei Torah, and that way to be Zeicha as much as we can in the milus that of being Isaac B'divei Torah, that being Isaac and Torah offers.